Okay, thank you, Brother Rick, and good morning. Okay, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I greet all those on the live stream that are joining today, and I know God has placed something on my heart to bring to us that will help us better in our faith and strength with our God. And, you know, I'm going to start with Psalm 118, 24, which says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I hope we're all rejoicing here as we've come to worship our God and to praise Him this day. And so today, I'm going to title my sermon, Faith Over Fear. Faith Over Fear. And I'm going to start with, I call it the faith chapter, which is Hebrews 11. Okay, I'm going to read the first six verses, which say, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then I want to read Isaiah 41:10, which says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know, I know each one of us have struggles from time to time. You know, but we need to put our faith and trust in God, and He will bless us. He will comfort us if we put our faith and trust in Him, if we look to Him for those answers. You know, I have a question. If life was to throw you a curveball, are we ready and prepared? You know, how do we prepare? You know, and the biggest thing is we need to have that close relationship with our God. We need to have that relationship that we can turn to Him in any struggles, anything that we have, that we can turn to Him. And how do we do it? But we study the scriptures. We seek Him in prayer. We talk to Him, you know, and we talk to one another, and we testify of His goodness, and we strengthen each other by the testimonies of God's blessings to us. I'm going to turn to Ephesians 6, which is putting the whole armor of God. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And I'm going to start with 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You know, there's faith. We have to have that faith in him. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, we must lift our prayers up to God, you know, and when we see a struggle, when we see a need, we need to lift up those in need. You know, God wants to hear our prayers. He wants us to seek him. And how blessed we are. We're such a blessed people. You know, how strong is our faith? You know, there are many Bible stories that demonstrate strong faith. And I'm going to touch on just a few, and then I'm going to read one here. But, you know, Abraham is considered the father of faith. You know, his story shows his obedience to God's commands, even when they seem difficult. You know, are we obedient? As seen with the sacrifice of Isaac, because he had faith and believed God would provide a way out. You know, do we have that faith that we know God is there with us and will provide that way? Moses showed his faith in God's power when he led the Israelites through the Red Sea, trusting God to deliver them from the Egyptians. Noah, which we all know, the story of Noah and the ark, demonstrates his faith by building the ark based on God's instruction, even though no one else believed of the coming flood. You know, but he took that direction from our God. And the story of David and Goliath, you know, David, this man, this small man, and this giant, you know, the story shows David's faith in God when he faced the giant, relying on God's strength instead of his own. And isn't it most, we think we have that strength. We think we can conquer things, but we need to look to God. You know, could David have done it without God? And he couldn't, you know, but God protected him. God helped him go against this giant, and he was successful. You know, in these stories, they put their faith and trust in the Lord. And Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You know, he will direct us. You know, if we put our trust and faith in him. I'm going to turn to Daniel. Daniel 3. And this story, you know, is about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And I think in this, all these Bible stories, you had to have that strong faith. But in this one, I just think of that fiery furnace and what they thought was going to happen and how strong their faith was. So Daniel 3. And this has a lot of repeating of the instruments and all that. I'll kind of skip down as we go in there because they repeated a lot in here. But it's such an important story. And it says, "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and its breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges and the treasurers, the counselors and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of an image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the of all these instruments that the king had set up, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hath made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet and all the instruments should worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, he was furious, and his fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear all these instruments, and you don't worship, and you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, so this king thought, who can be more important than me? Who can be more important than me? But they knew God was stronger. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more, then it won't be heated. You know, so he said, turn this up, because he was so mad. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore became the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot. The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the men that put them in were burnt from just being outside because it was so hot. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselor, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and the counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own." Could we have that strong faith? Could we have that strong faith when we have this challenge in front of us? You know, and I think how strong their faith and their trust in God. "Therefore, I will make a decree." And so it changed Nebuchadnezzar's heart. It changed him that he was afraid. He was afraid of this God. It says, "Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces." He wasn't a nice man still, but "shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You know, so when we trust in God and he blesses us, and others will see. You know, in this case, it was a mighty miracle that God blessed them and delivered them. And, you know, in our lives, you know, we need to testify. We need to have that strength, that trust. We need to tell others that we have that strength. We have that trust. I'm going to turn to a hymn. I always like to turn to a hymn. God inspires these hymns. And I'm going to, if you want to turn and look at the words, I'm just going to read the words. It's on page 316. And a few weeks ago at the Wednesday night prayer service, Cody had picked this song. It's "God Will Take Care of You." And it meant a lot to me because I was starting through some times that, I needed that even stronger closeness to God, and to know and to reassure that God is there for us. And so 316, and it says, "God will take care of you. Be not afraid. He is your safeguard through sunshine and shade, tenderly watching and keeping his own. He will not leave you to wander alone. He's there for us. God will take care of you through all the day, shielding your footsteps, directing your way. He is your shepherd, protector, and guide, leading his children where still waters glide. God will take care of you long as you live, granting you blessings no others can give. He will take care of you when time is past, safe to his kingdom will bring you at last. God will take care of you still to the end. Oh, what a father, redeemer, and friend. Jesus will answer whenever you call. He will take care of you. Trust him for all." You know, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You know, we need to exercise our faith when we seek God in prayer. The prayers of the saints are so important in our lives. You know, when you see someone on the prayer list, you hear of someone in need, lift your prayers up to God. You know, so many prayers have went out for me, and I thank everybody. And it gives that comfort and that strength. Psalm 5, 2, and 3 says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." And Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. We have that promise. He's there for us. He is there for us. Mark 11, 20 through 24 says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." You know, so we have to have that belief. Each one of us, when we pray to God, do we believe that he will answer us? You know, do we have that faith? We must come in that faith, and that importance to have that faith and not just say a prayer, but truly have that faith that God will bless that person, will bless us in our trials and strengthen us. I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. So 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to start with 16, and I'm going to read through 25. And it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us." So prayer. The importance of prayer. Let's turn in the Book of Mormon to 3 Nephi 8, and it's on page 651. I'm going to start with 47. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you." And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude, and saith unto them, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must pray, always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye will receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft." We must meet together oft. We strengthen each other with our love of God and strength, a love of each other. "And ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, shall not cast them out. And if it be so, so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye have seen that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye have witnessed, and ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded that ye should come unto me, that you might see and feel, or feel and see. And then I want to turn to Alma 16, and it's on page 429. And this is about prayer. When should we pray? And you'll see here that we should pray all the time. Pray anytime we can. So Alma 16, page 429, I'm going to start with 219. It says, "Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those around you." You know, prayer is so important. You know, we strengthen each other when we seek and ask God for blessings. You know, 2 months ago yesterday, the 7th of October, you know, I thought, you know, God has blessed me all through my life. He has blessed me with no sicknesses, been a healthy guy, type 2 diabetes that it was up, partially up to me on controlling, you know, that was the little thing, you know, but on the 7th of October, went in for a scan, thinking the only thing I had was a hearing problem. Thought I didn't want to go in, be old and have a hearing aid. But now I kind of wish that was what it was, but that wasn't what it was. And I got called by the doctor and that did the scan, and he said, "I wish I had better news." You know, he said, "There's a mass covering your ear." And, you know, it hit me like it would anybody. You know, I was fine, but I thought, okay, I'll tell Becky. We didn't know what the mass was, but you know, we lifted up our prayers. I asked for prayers of the saints. First of all, I want to say we all have struggles. My struggle, I'm going to tell you about the blessings of God, the blessings that he has given me throughout these 2 months. But my blessings, we all have those blessings. You know, we all have struggles in life, and we need to look for those blessings. Look for those blessings and testify of God's goodness, because he is there for us. He is there for us in all our challenges. You know, but my journey here, you know, it's been 2 months. And so it was on the 7th. I was off school that day. It was on a Monday. He called right after the scan, and he gave me this news. We didn't know what it was, but of course, my hope was a benign tumor, be miraculously healed, or when they go into the biopsy, it wasn't there. You know, that's all our plan, is this miraculous thing. But there's another plan, and I think, and I know that God's has blessed me so, and I know that this platform I've been given, you know, I have lymphoma, which I'm wearing lime green. Lime green is the lymphoma awareness. I have lime green socks. I have Oscar the Grouch, which my little granddaughters gave to me, and they're lime green. Hopefully I'm not a grouch. You know, I don't think they think I am. But so that was October 7th. October 8th, I went to school, and I was teaching, and this child, the three-year-old Phoebe, she was there, and which she had been with me 2 months and had never mentioned anything. I mean, she talked, and she was fine, but sat down for snack, and she looked up at me that morning and said, "You know, Mr. David, Jesus loves you." You know, what a blessing. You know, since then, has she mentioned Jesus to me? Has she done any? You know, no, we've had 2 months more. Hasn't, but that day, and I know God placed that in her heart because that's something I needed. I needed that reassurance. I mean, I know Jesus loves me, but this little child, a three-year-old, to just look at me and say that, I know that came from God. You know, after that, went for my biopsy. You know, went for my biopsy, and right before I went in, prescriptions, I have an automatic prescriptions that tells me when my prescriptions are ready, and I get this prescription, it says oxycodone. And I'm like, oh, I'm kind of a baby, and I thought, oh, I must be gonna have some pain, you know? And so before I went in, I thought, okay, am I gonna have pain here? But I'll tell you, I went through this biopsy, you know, it was through my nose bled later, not 1 ounce of pain. I didn't need that, I didn't even need Tylenol. God bless me. God bless me through that. You know, right after that, when we got the biopsy results and it was cancer, my sister got on and got me in with an oncologist. I was in within 3 days, which she said it took her 5 weeks. It takes people a long time. I was blessed. I got in there right away in 3 weeks, take care of it, to find out what's going on. He ordered a bone marrow biopsy. And so I go in and they said, well, you have strong bones. You're young, which, you know, I like that youngness. You know, you're young, you have strong bones, so they're gonna drill and they're gonna use a mallet. And I thought, oh no, you know, what is this? And went in, I was, I had like a twilight, but not, I wasn't asleep. But I felt nothing. You know, and I talked to my sister had had this, my sister had had this, and they said it was excruciating pain. They had to be held down. They were almost going off the table. I didn't feel anything. And I was awake enough that they had me turn over because then they put a port in my chest. Didn't feel anything on that. I have this lump coming out of my chest now. But I didn't feel any pain on anything. God has blessed me. You know, he has blessed me so much. And the next day, I went in for a lumbar punch, which is like a spinal tap. As I'm going through the doctors, you know, I had my ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I told him, we're praying. You know, I'm able to say my faith, you know, I'm praying. The oncologist, I said, I'm praying, and they just, you know, agreed. They didn't say anything much on it, but went in for this lumbar punch, and as I'm talking to the doctor, I said, now tomorrow we're flying to California to see my daughter. And he said, oh, there's a chance that you could get a debilitating headache tomorrow and you couldn't get on a plane. And so he said, you might go get your wife. And I said, I'll tell her, we're fine if we have to cancel, whatever we need to do. Went out, got her, she came in and she said, because he said, let's postpone it a few days. Well, I didn't want anything postponed because I wanted to stay on this. And so went in, she came back, we talked to the doctor. The doctor realized that we said, we're gonna just go ahead and do it. And he said, well, I'll be praying. And we said to him, well, we're praying. And he said, oh, in that case, we're doing it. So he knew we had the faith, he had the faith. I go in there, I'm awake for this. He said, we gotta hit it just right. It needs to be perfect so that, because a lot of times you hit a nerve and then you have to move it and then air gets in there. And I think that's where the headache comes from. And he said, I'll just be really careful and I'm praying. And so he did it. I didn't feel it. I mean, I could feel a little needle, but not much. And he says, the Holy Spirit was here. You know, this doctor says that as he did it, and he said it went perfect. And don't think you'll have any problems. And then when I was wheeled out, the boys that, I call them boys, the young men that were pulling, he said, that was textbook. That was phenomenal. That was perfect. And then the next day, no headache. We flew to California. We were blessed. We were blessed. You know, so all these blessings you look for in God. You know, my first chemo treatment was a couple weeks ago, and no sickness. No sickness. He is blessing me through this. You know, I have a long road ahead, I think, things coming up that we'll have to do in the future, but God is blessing me all the way through this. And I know this is his plan, that I can praise his name, that I can testify. So think in your struggles. Look to God. Look for those answers and praise him and tell others of his goodness so that you can strengthen each one. I know each one here, we have struggles and we pray for each other and how important it is. I'm going to turn to Ether 5, and it's on page 748. And I'm just going to read two verses. And, you know, we must be humble. We must be humble. And that's the thing. When we seek God, we must be humble and know his greatness. And verse 28, it says, I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before God, before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. So I have a poem here, and I have a poem. It's by Helen Steiner Rice. And it's called The Bend in the Road. It says, sometimes we come to life's crossroads and we view what we think is the end. But God has a much wider vision and he knows it's only a bend. The road will go on and get smoother. And after we've stopped for a rest, the path that lies hidden beyond us is often the path that is best. So rest and relax and grow stronger. You must grow stronger in the Lord. Let go and let God share your load. And have faith in a brighter tomorrow. You've just come to a bend in the road. Then I have two more scriptures. I'm going to go to 2 Nephi 3 on page 94. And actually, I was talking to a brother on Wednesday night, and he said, you know, this chapter has so many wonderful things, and it does. It does, as many chapters do. But 2 Nephi, page 94. And I'm going to start with 61. It says, O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee, Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my salvation, or my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. And I want to end with, at the first one, it's on fear. And it says, it's Isaiah 41:10, and it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So thank you. My prayers are for you. I would appreciate continued prayers for me. And my prayers are always with you. So thank you.